The Lord be with you.
With you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone today to our service of morning prayer. And today in our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit about Jesus and transformation. That's the theme of our service today. And as we welcome everybody, we also want to say a warm word of welcome to those who are joining us at home, joining us on the live stream, and we're delighted to have you with us. We're conscious at the moment that a number of people in the parish have tested positive for COVID. So if that's you and you're watching at home, our thoughts are with you today. We're always very aware that it hasn't gone away and it's causing a lot of disruption and challenge for people. So we hope that everybody makes a full and speedy recovery. Just wanted to mention some notices for the week that is to come. You'll have seen them on your way into church today. Most of our regular activities are happening throughout the week, but I just wanted to highlight one or two activities that don't happen every week. On Wednesday afternoon, our Bowls Club are meeting in the afternoon from 2 to 4. And on Thursday evening, the Men's Society are resuming for the first time, and all men are warmly invited to their opening meeting, which is all about Ulster colloquialisms and sayings. And the broadcaster and journalist Paul Clements is going to be sharing some insights on those. And all men of the parish are welcome. It's at 8 o'clock. It's after the midweek Lenten service at 7:30 on Thursday evening. So again, just wanted to extend a warm welcome to any men who would like to come to that meeting on Thursday evening. Many people have been asking and indeed responding to the appeal for the situation in the Ukraine, and those gifts are being channeled through the Bishop's Appeal, and envelopes are available at the back of the church from our church wardens. And we hope to keep that appeal open for this Sunday and for next Sunday before sending off our response. Also, during the season of Lent, if people wish to bring tinned goods of fruit or vegetables, they're being given to the larder food bank. And again, that's an option for people if they feel they can do that during the season of Lent. But as we come together and we think about this theme about Jesus and transformation, our opening hymn reminds us that Christ is the world's true light as we sing together.
Thank you. the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The psalm appointed for this morning's service is Psalm 27. In this psalm, David, although going through a time of distress, reaffirms his faith in God. So we stand to read Psalm 27 together. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not be afraid. And though there rise up war against me, yet will I put my trust in him. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that alone I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord
all the days of my life, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord,
and to seek his will in his temple. For in the day of trouble he shall hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his dwelling shall he hide me, and set me high upon a rock. And now shall he lift up my head above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his dwelling an oblation with great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy upon me and answer me. My heart tells of your word. Seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not your face from me, nor cast your servant away in displeasure. You have been my helper. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of those who lie in wait for me. Deliver me not into the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me and those who breathe out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and he shall comfort your heart. Wait patiently for the Lord. Please be seated for our Old Testament reading.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it." But Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it?" So the Lord said to him, "Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon." Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking brazier with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At this point in our service, the children leave for Sunday school, and we wish them well. We stand to sing our next hymn, "Father, We Adore You." Please be seated for our New Testament reading.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 13th chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. He replied, go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're going to listen now to a piece of music recorded by many Christians and churches. People coming together in a way that all our community needs to come together in these days. So let us watch and listen.
Thank you. Go Mani and Chirnahu, agus go Goody Shehu.
The Lord met the left away space, and the good news was heard, to be brecht upon you.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
The Lord bless you
and keep you.
The Lord make his face
to shine upon you
and be gracious to you.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you
and give you peace.
Niech się Pan błogosławi i strzeże.
Faka se lumineze faca lui bestet.
Jehova, pirumukham ninda mel uyarthi, ninakku samadhi.
Kosi fuini alafia.
And in response, we stand to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for today, the second Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, you show to those who are in error the light of your truth, that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant to all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may reject those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. And in all things, guide us to know and do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Wow. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Our next song calls on God to renew our hearts through his word. We stand to sing, Speak, O Lord, as we come to you.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the TV shows that I have got quite connected with over the past number of seasons on RTÉ television and radio is a show called Operation Transformation. And this is a show that usually runs from January to about March. It runs for about 10 or 12 weeks. And I've only just caught the first one of the current series, although I have the rest of them recorded. And what this show does is it follows the journey of five people from right across the country who are trying to make serious changes to their lives to enhance their health and their well-being. And as they go on this journey, they enlist the help of a range of professionals, from GPs to dietitians to health and fitness experts and psychologists, as they try to instill these changes to people's diet and their lifestyle to achieve the results that they're all after. And I always think that the five leaders, and there's quite a process involved in selecting the leaders, but the five leaders who are selected are incredibly courageous people. And they share very openly in this program the tragedies and experiences and challenges that have brought them to this particular point, which for many of them is a crossroads. And no punches are pulled, as the choices that people make will certainly have a significant bearing on their life expectancy. And with the wonders of modern technology, people right across the country get involved in this program as they use their smartphones and various apps that will enable you then, if you wish, to follow the particular diet and exercise plan of the leader that you think your life resonates with. And over the course of the 10 or 12 weeks, there'll be interviews on TV and various radio shows following the progress and the way things are going for these five leaders. But I think it's a fantastic title for a program, Operation Transformation. And I think that the mentors who help the leaders are very gifted people. They're tough, but they're loving as well. And whenever we take a look at Luke's gospel, which we're going to do this morning, and if you come along on Thursday evenings during Lent, we're looking at discipleship in Luke's gospel. And whenever we do look at Luke's gospel, we discover that Jesus is on a journey as well. He's on a journey that will lead eventually to Jerusalem and to a cross. And it's a journey that will open a way of transformation for each one of us, no matter who we are and no matter what we might have done in our lives. If we engage with Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, he opens this way of transformation to each one of us. And from the comfort of my armchair, and I have to admit sometimes I'm eating a bag of crisps when I watch the program, but when I'm in the comfort of my armchair, I see something really beautiful in the way that these five leaders spur one another on. And they face the difficulties in their lives head on with the help of their mentors. And they set on their way resolutely with the support and the help of family and friends and indeed their local communities. Very often whole villages and towns will take part in these nightly walks with the leaders. And to me, as I watch this program, I always think it would be a wonderful thing to see the church modeling this kind of approach as people together seek to move forward in the spiritual life. But there are a few things that I would want to say about transformation, which is what we're thinking about this morning. And the first thing I'd want to say about transformation is that whenever you embark upon transformation, you're likely to encounter opposition and mistrust. So people who were formerly your companions in the bad choices that you made, those people will be unlikely to welcome the changes that you are trying to introduce in your own life. And very often they react against the transformation or the changes that you're trying to make. They will sneer at your efforts as you try to squeeze your oversized frame into a tracksuit and start to take some exercise. People will criticize the food that you're preparing, as they would rather the convenient and unhealthy stuff that you indulged in before. And when we look at the Gospel of Luke, Jesus too knew all about opposition and mistrust, often from the people that you think might be behind him on the mission that he set upon. And when we read this, the few verses that we heard from Luke's Gospel this morning, we see that the Pharisees actually want rid of him. And they tell him that King Herod wants to kill him, so he would be better off leaving town. And you wonder, when they said that to Jesus, did they genuinely fear for his safety? Or do they simply find his presence and his teaching too challenging and too uncomfortable? Did it perhaps threaten their own position? And one of the underlying questions that keep coming up in the Gospel of Luke is this question: who was Jesus? And what was he really about? And if, as I'm suggesting, he's someone who's concerned about transformation in our lives and in our souls, I want to very briefly just point out three things that we learn about him from those few short verses today. And the first thing that I see in these verses about Jesus is that he's incredibly courageous. Whenever people oppose us or they try to make our lives difficult, the easiest thing in the world to do, as the Pharisees ask, is that we would go away. That's what they asked Jesus to do. They said, "You'd be better off leaving town." And we notice that Jesus doesn't do that. Even though the king, who he's told has his eye on him and is opposed to him, and even though that king has a reputation as a ruthless despot, Jesus sends the message back to that fox, as he describes him, that he is going nowhere. Jesus is going to continue his mission. He's going to keep driving out demons and healing people and making his way towards his goal. And Jesus' goal is to reach Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the economic and the spiritual capital of the nation. And even though confrontation with power will most likely cost him his life, Jesus has courage, and he refuses to back off or to take that easy path to irrelevance and obscurity. And he says to Herod, I'm not going anywhere. The second thing that I want us to notice in these verses about Jesus, we've noticed first of all his courage, but let's look also at his compassion. We see incredible compassion and tenderness in the life of Jesus. And he's not keeping going to Jerusalem just to be stubborn or to be bloody-minded about things or to stand up to Herod and show him who's really boss. But he's making his way to Jerusalem and to the cross because he is pursuing his mission, because he knows just how much the people of Israel need God in their lives. And he's weeping over the city of Jerusalem because he sees how lost and how empty people's lives are without God. And as people leave churches in their droves all over the place, including this one, our sadness ought not to be over the decline of some self-styled empire, but our sadness should be over that indifference or that hardness of heart towards the things of God, the very thing that brings the life and the transformation that we all seek. But we very often get worked up and we get upset over the disappearance of things like traditions that are important to us. Or we get annoyed because we remember a time when the church was full and it felt much more comfortable and much more part of something that was really buzzing. We get much more upset over those things than we do over the disappearance of a couple of generations now who no longer have any time for God in their lives. And one of the challenging things that Jesus often points out to us is that it's not just about us who are inside this building or watching at home on the live stream. It's about a world out there, a world much bigger, who are reliant on ordinary people like you and me, scattered servants, as a book I read some years back put it in a very memorable way. The world is reliant on scattered servants, just like you and me, to point them back to the importance of the spiritual in their lives. And it's not an easy task. We all know how hard it is to share our faith with our family and our friends. And yet if we don't do it, who will? The last thing that I want to mention from these few verses is the truthfulness of Jesus. We've talked about his courage, we've talked about his compassion, but lastly I want to talk about his truthfulness. Jesus is totally unapologetic in these verses, in pointing out how empty our lives are, how empty our lives will be without his influence upon them. And as he speaks to these religious leaders, he says to them, look, your house is left to you and it's desolate. You see, it's only when we see and we acknowledge who he is and what he has done for us in our lives, that our lives can take a new direction and a new purpose. And if you have ever seen this kind of transformation in your own life,
or maybe in the life of someone that you know, it's probably the most exciting operation, transformation that we will ever see or experience, when life takes on a new significance and purpose, as we discover that we're living no longer just for ourselves, but for Him who loved us and died for us and rose again for us and gave us His Spirit to go out into the world to draw others into friendship with Him. I wonder, can we have the courage in the power of God's Holy Spirit to pass the wonderful transformation that's available to all of us? Can we pass it on to others? Can we share it with others? Can we motivate others, just like the leaders in that TV show who set about radical transformation in their lives? Can we too, as we experience God's love for us, share His transformation with others? Let us pray. Lord, we thank You this morning for the transformation that You seek to bring to people's lives. And we thank You that You invite each and every one of us to fullness of life, to replace the emptiness that we often feel inside. We thank You that You transform anxiety to peace, despair to hope, and restlessness to calm, even in the midst of challenging circumstances in our lives. And we pray that Your church in this place would embody these things in our love and care for each other and in our concern for the world around us. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world. And today we pray especially for all who have been bereaved through the war in Ukraine. We pray for all who mourn in the Ukraine, in Russia, and throughout the world. We pray for parents hearing news of the deaths of their children. We pray for the families of civilians being slaughtered. And we pray for communities fighting desperately to survive in unbelievably difficult conditions. We pray today for the practical, logistical difficulties of getting food and medicine to those in need. And we pray for refugees being rehoused and offered sanctuary in neighboring countries. We pray for healing after all the trauma that they have experienced. And as we saw churches coming together in this land to sing a blessing during the time of pandemic, we pray that this country would come together to offer sanctuary and help and welcome to those who flee from the horrors of war. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray especially today for all who seek transformation in their lives. We pray for those who have been long-term unemployed to find fulfilling and satisfying work and a steady income. We pray for all those returning to education or retraining, that they would be given perseverance and courage in pursuing their dream. We pray for those who seek help to overcome addiction or eating disorders, and for the courage it takes to go on those journeys, and for all who seek to support them. We also want to take a quiet moment to pray for those known to us who are in any kind of distress, in body, mind, or spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our next hymn reminds us that in Jesus' presence we find solace and comfort and transformation. We sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to everyone for sharing our service with us here in the building and also at home. We're going to bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, and to take up your cross and follow him. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is the hymn, Thy Hand, O God, Has Guided.